1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS. Good morning, I'm Brady Safranik, and joining me now, Sylvia Bruner with the Gatchel Museum. Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning, Brady. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking the time this morning. We're going to talk about a couple things. One is a program coming up next week with Jennifer Romanowski.
Yep. So I believe this is the last Johnson County Historical Society for the season before they take a break for summer. And they've got Jen coming next Tuesday at 6:30 at the library. I do believe they're having a business meeting prior to her program, though. So I'm no longer on that board, but I'll still promote it because it's a great group. Anybody who's interested should definitely show up a little early and, you know, see if there's some way they can help. But Jen's program is going to be about the Gatchel family and the pharmacy and also her book. So it's an Images of America book. It's the Jim Gatchel Memorial Museum, and she compiled a history of the museum, and in order to do that, you also kind of have to have a history of the Gatchel family and all the folks along the way who built the museum into what it is. It's a fantastic book. We love it. It's full of photos. And get out, see Jen, purchase a copy if you haven't already. I'm sure she'd sign it for you.
I'm sure you can probably get that book in your store as well.
You can. Okay. And you should also be able to get it on our online store, but it's always more fun to come into the store and check out all the cool things that are there. There's some great items, great books. We still have copies of the Look to the Mountains images comparison book that we put out in December. We've sold quite a few, but again, there's still some left. So come Excellent. Take a peek. And also, if you're coming into the store to go shopping, take a little extra time for folks who don't know or didn't remember. Johnson County residents now have free admission to the museum.
That's so, very exciting.
Yeah, come in, go through, take your time, come back. But we won't charge you an admission.
And what brought that about?
You know, it's something that we've kind of talked about and thought about for a while, because with us being county ancillary, I call us quasi-county, we do receive some funding from Johnson County, the commissioners, and the property taxes that they levy against the residents. It's currently around half of our operating budget. So we feel, when I say we, I mean the staff and the board, residents are already paying into the museum. Residents are the reason that the museum has made it for years, right? It's that community support, donations, etc. So we wanted to look at that. We talked about free admission. The flip side is that admission fees actually contribute a substantial portion of our operating budget as well. But then when we got to looking at our demographics of where those people are coming from that are paying the admissions, the majority of them are out of state, you know, much less out of county. So we're not going to lose that. We're still pulling in a substantial amount of money for us in admissions, but the thing that we're doing is seeing more locals come in, you know, throughout just the normal work week, where before we would see locals on special events, which were usually free admission to start with. So it's like, it's almost embarrassing we didn't think of this a little sooner, because it feels like a win-win for everybody. So
nice thing is, yeah. once you get them in, then you know, direct them towards the store, and then they spend some money.
Yeah, you know, some folks they're coming in because they heard about the free admission, and you know, if you've got a large family, it does add up quickly. Like my husband and I were at the Billings Zoo recently, and I was grateful my kids were still free, but they won't be next year. But if you come in and, yeah, you discover, hey, this is a great store, there's some beautiful gift items, great books, etc., you know, again, win-win.
And when they come in and check out all the cool stuff in your new exhibits, which we'll talk about in just a moment, maybe when they have people that come and visit from outside the county, outside the state, they direct them towards the museum as well.
Exactly. That word of mouth kind of promotion is amazingly helpful.
And so you do have a new exhibit over at the museum. Is that open right now?
It is.
Okay.
We opened that last Friday. A little touch and go for a few minutes, but we had it done. That's normal for us.
Right, I'm actually joking. Time.
Yeah. Jen and I remember one opening for a whole floor, I think. And our previous director was literally still on a ladder, like screwing in light bulbs when the doors were opening. So we felt really accomplished. We had ours done 2 days in advance.
Good. Hey, 2 days is good.
Yeah, top notch. So the exhibit, it's D. Michael Thomas, a retrospective. And most of our folks listening, I'm sure, are familiar with Mike Thomas and his amazing, beautiful bronze art. But it's a really cool opportunity to come in and see a you know, fairly large room full of some of his pieces. There's about 30 pieces on display. The majority of them are his number ones. Some of them are the only ones to exist. We're incredibly grateful to Mike for loaning us these items and letting us put together the exhibit, trusting us to do so, because his work is like, I mean, he's a nationally known artist. The standard of what he puts out is incredible. And so we wanted to be sure that what we did with it met those standards. And having Kelsey McDonald at the museum is an amazing asset for us in the community. And she curated this and had kind of a vision from the word go of what she wanted it to look like. And it is gorgeous.
And so when people come in, they see the exhibit. Talk a little bit about what all goes into making something like that happen, because it doesn't happen overnight. As you said, it was came right down to about right. 2 days before he opened it.
A lot of crying and some cuss words, a lot of coffee. No, a lot of pre-planning. You know, when we first talked to Mike, it was, I think, at least 3 years ago, and we told him, hey, we need a full season to actually get this planned out, because you know, there's the three of us that work year-round full-time. And when we're planning an exhibit, we're also still doing the rest of our jobs. So, you know, you might be really excited and you want to get it done and focus on just that one exciting project, but you can't because you still have to do all of the other things in your job description. And whatever is needed at the museum is basically our job descriptions. So putting it down on paper, coming up with, you know, how do we want this physical layout? What do we want that to look like? What options do we have? We have very restrictive space at the museum. So we have one room that was determined to be our changed exhibits gallery, I don't know, close to 20 years ago now. And we've rotated exhibits in and out of there. And there's movable walls. Fine print is they're not very easily movable. They are massive. They are heavy. They are kind of dangerous to move around. We hate moving them. So we took them apart. We moved them. We tucked them into the alcove where they belong. And then we actually built a case right over the front of them. And it's not, you know, etched in stone permanent, but it's very well built. We had local contractor Buffalo Women Creations do the work on that. If you'd left that up to me to do, it would all be very crooked. Turned out great. And after it's all said and done, we're looking at it going, okay, we want to use this layout and this exhibit space for a number of future changing exhibits. So, like, for instance, we're talking about doing an exhibit on musical instruments in the collection. We could 100% use the same kind of layout. And, I mean, it's not plug and play, but almost. So there's a lot of thought about, you know, all the prep work, the expense. We had a major donor, a private anonymous individual who gave us about $6,000 to help cover the costs because we had no supplies at the moment, like plywood, paint, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Very generous.
Yes, incredibly generous. And very, like, given freely of, here, use it where you need this to go towards this exhibit. So, you know, building supplies are not cheap currently, but yeah. We were able to get stocked up, get what we need. Kelsey repainted everything. And then just the whole design of what do you have to work with for art? How is it going to best be displayed? So when you go into that gallery, excuse me, the walls are white. Not something you're going to see elsewhere in the museum, because museums seem to have this weird idea that you can't really do white walls. Well, in this case, white walls with rich brown tones of bronzes. It just makes them sparkle. Yeah. And then working with Mike, what do you have? What do you want to see in this exhibit? And then physically he transported like 35 bronzes down.
Wow.
I don't know how many times they've been moved around. We should all be really buff by now. And then, you know, when that happened, Kelsey also kind of narrowed down that, okay, in order to have them look appropriate, we need to cut them down by a few. So we had to return a couple of them to Mike. And just having that flexibility with him was also fabulous.
Excellent. Yep. Excellent. So people can stop in, see the new exhibit, the free admission for Johnson County residents. People don't forget that. And then the Tuesday program, once again, tell us when and where.
Yeah, Johnson County Library, 6:30 next Tuesday evening. And Jen will be there presenting about Gatchell family, the pharmacy, her book, which tells you all about those fine folks as well.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, we're talking with Sylvia Bruner with Gatchel Museum. Stop in and see them. Again, free admission if you are a Johnson County resident. And that goes, is that like...
That's permanent.
Permanent.
Yep, that was board approved, and we instituted it January 1st. We're also getting really close to going to our summer hours. As soon as we hit the Memorial Day weekend, we go Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sundays, noon to 5. And that should add some flexibility, too.
All right. Thank you so much, Sylvia.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And everybody keep those radio dials right here. It's KBBS.